The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This summer is one big reset button in a lot of ways for the Chicago Bulls. And while we've talked about the front office, we've talked about the coach, haven't talked a lot about players that could leave or return for the Chicago Bulls. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. Plus Billy Donovan's latest comments on his return or not to the Chicago Bulls. Plus why every Bulls fan should be rooting for the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. We're going to talk about all that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod for everything Chicago Bulls related. But let's go ahead and get into it, man. So this summer is going to be a reset summer, right? Like, that is the big thing. It's reset summer for the Chicago Bulls. Right now, you know, resets, everything can come back. You can go back to where you were. You can be better than where you were. And there's a lot of things up in air based off what the methodology is by the new front office, right? Like, this could end up being just a retool. It could end up being another complete reset. We don't really know, right? Like, it comes down to how the new eyes on this team really view the players that are on this roster they have the bird rights for, and then what they view the players that even have contracts still on this roster, right? So, like, I want to start off talking about, you know, that part of it, right? Players that could be out this season for the Chicago Bulls, and these are guys that are all contracts are up, and the front office is going to have to make a decision whether to bring those guys back or not. Now, this was kind of originated by, I don't know if you guys saw the clip that came out for Anthony Simons, who actually said that he would not mind staying with the Chicago Bulls. Now, almost every free agent says that, so take that with a grain of salt for whatever you will, but there are free agents that are key decisions. One of those guys being Anthony Simons, right? So we're going to start right there is Anthony Simons. Of course, we know we got Anthony Simons back in the Nikola Vucevic trade that sent Vooch to Boston. And Simons is a 26-year-old guard that can still absolutely score when it comes down to it. From 2023 to 2025, he averaged 20 points, 4.7 assists, shooting 37% from three on eight three-point attempts per game. Like, there's just no around it. Like, Anthony Simons is a really good three-point shooter and a guard that really kind of understands what he does well and what he doesn't do well. Like, the fit with Josh Giddey, I think, could be there on paper, too. So, you know, depending on the position that the Bulls do go, let's say they do go wing and they go more of a three, right, to pair with Modest Bouzelis, or more of a four, move Modest to the three, and they have a position left there at shooting guard, they very well could look to retain Anthony Simons. Now, when you look at the area that the Bulls are expected to pick in unless they get lottery luck, there are a lot of guards that are going to go in that area. One of my favorite is Braden Burries. Of course, we'll talk a little bit more about the draft tomorrow. We'll dive back into the draft. We did the top four yesterday. We'll dive back into the draft. But Anthony Simons is a guy that, you know, when he went into that six-man role in Boston, yeah, his numbers went down, but he really did thrive there. And he's talked about playing for a winning team and what stuff looks like for that. So, you know, when it comes down to it, keeping Anthony Simons could just be getting another scoring guard next to Josh Giddey that brings no defense. Now, you're going to have to do what you can do to find a starting caliber too if you draft other positions and you put your free agent money in center or something like that. But, you know, I think you want more balance on the team when you have a chance to reset. So, and Anthony Simons, as much as he said, you know, he would love to come back to Chicago, I think that his comments on, you know, playing for a winning team, being willing to take less for a winning team, you know, unless he's just completely money driven, he may wind up going to a winning team, playing more of a six-man role. So there you go. And Anthony Simons, You know, I not that I would hate him coming back here, because I think he's really good at what he does, whether he's coming off the bench or starting, but I just don't see the Bulls probably being good enough at that point in time. But, you know, we'll see. The other guard is Colin Sexton. Now, Colin Sexton has been much of the turmoil to a lot of Bulls fans over the course of his time being here, right? Like, Bulls fans blame him for things and like, oh, well, he shouldn't be playing. There's no reason he should have been on the team after the trade deadline and all that type of stuff. Even though, you know, giving up the bird rights on him for a player that you could very well bring back to help solidify your bench. And it's a reality of it, right? You know, of course, we got him back in the Kobe White trade. He averaged 17.4 points, 2.9 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 1.6 steals across 25 games for the Chicago Bulls, and shot 48% from the field and 40% from three. Now, the thing with Colin Sexton, if you followed him over his NBA career, you have to ask the question is, are those efficiencies always going to be there? He's not always been that efficient. Right now, I wouldn't mind Colin Sexton coming back and playing off the bench and being a bench guard. I think he brought some fire. He brought some leadership at a time where we need it. You know, if he accepts a more team-friendly deal to come off the bench, I think that Colin Sexton is going to be back on this team. And I think he's probably more willing to accept that role than an Anthony Simons for this team, just because of where Colin Sexton has been over his career. And I know that it's something that a lot of Bulls fans don't want to hear, but, you know, the thing, like I said, is that all these free agents are probably not walking away. The way that bird rights work, and even the way that free agent money works, yeah, the Bulls are 115 below the first tax apron. Only $60 million of that can really be used to go out and get free agents from other teams. And so you're going to have to retain some of your guys just by the way the salary cap structure works. Colin Sexton could be one of those guys for the Chicago Bulls. I think just a vet who understands his role, understands what he does well, understands what he doesn't do well, and he also played decently when he was here and fit in with Trey Jones, Josh Giddey, Giannis Bouzelis, you know, Jalen while he was here. Like, I think he just plugs in. He just does his role as a bench scoring very well. Now, the thing for Colin is, do any other teams, much like with Anthony Simon, do any winning teams look at Colin Sexton and is like, hey, you did that for the Bulls. Hey, you can come over. It's not going to be the same amount of shots, but hey, you can come over here and be a scoring punch for us and maybe Colin to do that. We'll see. You know, Colin's definitely not going to get the 18 plus million that he, you know, his contract was on. I don't think that that's going to be out there for him in free agency. And so for the Bulls that have so much money beneath the first tax apron, after they go and use their restricted free agent money after the draft and they're left there and saying, all right, now we need to fill out this bench, I do think Colin Sexton come in and play that role for the Chicago Bulls, much to the chagrin of many Bulls fans, right? Next up, Gershon Yabusele. Now, Gershon was interesting because, of course, he waived his $5.8 million player option for the 2026-7 season to kind of move on from New York. Now, there was talk about him going back overseas after not playing much with New York. He comes over to Chicago. He has a role. He's also been a guy that says he wouldn't mind staying, or he would love to stay here in Chicago. No, him being 30 years old, he averaged 10 points, 5.7 rebounds, and 24 minutes per game in 26 games for the Chicago Bulls, right? He shot 38% from three over that time as well. So, you know, Gershon is going to be an interesting case point, right? Because I think, especially with Leonard Miller still being here, and hopefully the Bulls have more traditional size, so even if Gershon were to stay here, you wouldn't have to play the center. I look at this and I say, you know, Gershon may stay, right? But at the same time, would that better be equipped to just, like, give Leonard Miller those minutes and let him excel and see what you really have in Leonard Miller next season? That's going to be up for the new eyes on the franchise. It's also going to be up for how quickly they think that they want to turn this thing around and try to get back to being competitive. The words from Michael Reinsdorf kind of left some gray area there and how they feel about that. So, you know, I think that'll be up to the guy that takes over the job. If Billy Donovan also stays on as the coach, Billy Donovan has typically been a win-now coach, right? A guy that you know he's going to coach for every win. You know, I think even that last game, pulling Trey Jones and making him sit when Trey Jones was playing pretty damn good, probably killed Billy Donovan, right? So you have that part of it. But Gershon Yabusele, I'm going to say he's probably not going to come back. And I think that that's just with the rise of Leonard Miller, us also maybe drafting another wing or forward, Noah Essengay coming back too. And hopefully, you know, they want to give Noah Essengay minutes and Noah Essengay earns those minutes to get out there on the court. Hopefully that the combination of those things, and you look at it and you're like, Gershon probably doesn't need to stay here. The next two players to talk about, Nick Richards and Zach Collins. Now, you know, I'm going to talk about these guys individually, but I think they're in similar situations because you're still going to need a backup big. Zach Collins, when he's been here and played, has been a really decent backup big. Nick Richards, when he played, has been a decent backup big, right? And not to say that either one of these guys are perfect for a young team and a big, but you still do need a rotational bench big, right? And so I think when you look at it, especially with Nick Richards, is that Nick Richards played pretty damn well coming over here to Chicago. You know, it's just the reality of it, right? And, you know, I know there's a lot to be made about Nick Richards and the Usman Zhang thing. And while I look at it and I say, you know, I think I have a more level-headed approach about it with looking at where the Bulls were, you know, in this summer with money and stuff like that. Leonard Miller has, you know, an actual deal into next year. But Nick Richards, I think, does have a chance to stay here as a bench big. I think he came in here, he played his role pretty well. I know that the on-off numbers weren't necessarily the best for him, but, you know, when it comes down to it, he's a bench big, and you need some bench depth. He was a decent rim runner. I think he did show what it could be like with Josh Giddey having a legitimate bench runner, a rim runner here in Chicago. And so I do think that there's going to be a chance of that, and that's going to just go back to that thing of you can't let everybody walk away. You have to use your bird rights on some of these players or sign and trade them. And Nick Richards, I do think, has an opportunity to stay here long-term with Chicago. Let me not say long-term. I'm not saying that Nick Richards is going to get a 3 or 4 year deal. You give Nick Richards a 1+1, right? A 1 year deal with a team option in the second year, maintain yourself some flexibility to move on from him if you need to next summer, but just not have to make that chance. He played 20 games for the Bulls, averaged 9.4 points, 7.6 rebounds, basically a block per game as well, shooting the ball 52% from the field. So it wasn't a terrible time here for Nick Richards. Zach Collins, right? The Zach Collins part of it is, I would love Zach Collins to be here and be the bench big. But the question with Zach Collins comes down to, he just has not been able to stay healthy. I mean, you know, and that's just something you really have to look at. Yes, he's only 28 years old. He'll turn 29, I think, before the start of the season or shortly thereafter. But, you know, he played 10 games for you this season, 28 for you last season. You have 38-game sample size. Now, when Zach Collins was here, the on-off numbers looked really good. Like, the Bulls were a really solid team when he was on the court for them last year, and he gave them some solid minutes. But unfortunately, it was 10 games and 28 games last year. So when you look at the Nick Richards part, I mean, the Zach Collins part of it, I just don't think you can bet on him to stay healthy. And thus, you know, I don't think he ends up staying here. But
the Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You know, on a minimum deal, cool, great, right? And I think that's going to be there for either Nick Richards or Zach Collins. One of those guys are going to get a 1 year deal from the Chicago Bulls, and it makes sense, right? Because a 1 year, like, or a 1+1, something like that. But I think those guys, you know, it just comes down to what the short and long term value is for them. So, you know, the roster is going to be pruned, but some of these guys are going to survive. If I had to pick the two that I think are going to survive, I'll say Colin Sexton and Nick Richards. I say those two guys come back on teamlier, friendly deals, not just completely minimum deals, but friendlier team deals, and they come back on a shorter-term aspect for the Bulls. Let me know out of those five guys that we just talked about, Anthony Simons, Colin Sexton, Gershon Yabusele, Nick Richards, and Zach Collins, which one of those guys do you think can stick around for the Chicago Bulls, right? But then there is another wrinkle in this, right? Especially when you have new eyes coming to the team. It means that there's going to be an evaluation process for everyone, right? And certain players that fit the vision of the last front office may not fit the vision of the next front office. So I want to look at that, right? You have a number of questions for players that are still on this roster. Josh Giddey, Modest Muzelis. First of all, let's start with those two. Would a new front office come in and look at those guys? Now, I know it's been a hot talking point for, you know, a lot of Bulls fans on, well, I think that the new front office is not going to want to build around Josh. They could look to trade Josh Giddey because and they're right to a degree, right? Like, but I do think some of it's the doom and gloom stuff, but the new front office could very well look at this Josh Giddey situation, much like the Chicago Sky GM did with Angel Reese, unfortunately, but and say, listen, the way that we have to build with Josh Giddey on our team, I just feel too restricted by that. Let's see what his value is, and let's see, you know, long term getting kind of a point guard that's easier to build around. Now, I say if. It's not something that I want to see, but you could see that. The same thing with Modest Muzelis. A new front office eyes could come in and look at Modest and say, eh, he's cool, but he ain't like that for real. Like you could look at that. I don't think that there's a huge possibility for either one of those things, but it is something that could realistically be on the table. Thus, you can't overlook it, right? And so that Noah Essanay too, like, the, very well, like, the new front office could come in and look at Noah Essanay and say, all right, yeah, that's cute. Let's package him with the Portland pick. Let's see if we can move back into the lottery. Like, you can do a lot of those things, right? And so that's what you could look at. That's just normal new eyes coming into a team. They could see the team completely differently. Their vision could be completely different. But with ownership wanting to force the new front office to basically keep Billy Donovan if he wants to stay, you never know what that and how that also plays into keeping some people and what Billy Donovan has a say in. But then you have, of course, Leonard Miller. Right now, Leonard Miller is the one guy that we got back in any of these trades, even more so than Rob Dillingham, who, of course, Rob Dillingham was the higher pick. But even higher than more than Rob Dillingham is that I look at Leonard Miller and I'm saying this is a guy that definitely deserves an opportunity to see what he can bring. Not only because he was positive on off numbers, almost everything splits was good for him. But then on top of that, how he looked playing with Modest and with Josh Giddey. And if those players are end up being part of your future, I think you have to look at that. Now, why not? We're not going to gas it. 27 games for the Chicago Bulls, 11.7 points per game, 5.8 rebounds, hitting one three-pointer per game on a 35% clip, which is decent enough. The thing that I love about Leonard Miller is a lot of the things he did, while, yes, March basketball is a thing, I think are easily replicable because he just goes out there and he plays hard. He's a dog, right? And he's a guy that really kind of digs in and plays really tough and understands his role and doesn't back down. Those kind of tough players with that, I really do look at. He's only played 76 games. He hasn't even played technically a full season yet. I think that Leonard Miller has shown enough to where you want to invest to see what else can be there because you could have a gym there or you could just end up having a solid bench piece. Either way, I think that on him having another year on his rookie scale contract before you have to make any long-term decisions on him, I think that he's more than earned that, right? The Patrick Williams question is a huge one. Now, I want to talk about something that I've seen a lot of Bulls fans bring up, and that is, oh, well, the new guy, that they have, the first thing they need to do is they need to cut Patrick Williams. Waiving and stretching is a provision, but it spreads out the money over 7 years. Like, I get it that Patrick Williams is an eyesore. I get that Patrick Williams has disappointed the Chicago Bulls, but I just don't see the Bulls putting themselves in a worse financial situation when they have 3 years left on this deal. No team's going to take him, maybe until he's expiring, but you can cause yourself further long-term limitations by waiving and stretching Patrick Williams when you could just not play him. Now, some fans are going to say the thing of, well, if he's here, they're going to want to play him minutes. When everybody was healthy here this season, they barely played him. And they even started realizing playing Leonard Miller above him. So I don't necessarily think that that's going to be a thing, especially for new eyes coming into the team. But and with 3 years left on Patrick Williams' contract, I just don't think any team's going to take him. You can package a second-round pick for him, but, hey, why would you want to do that when you can package other things? The Bulls have financial flexibility right now. I don't think they have to do a dump or a wave and stretch for P. Will until they absolutely need the money. So let's say they spend in free agency this year. Just for shits and giggles, let's say they get Walker Kessler. They fill out the bench with decent role players or whatever else it is. Then let's say next offseason, they have their mid-level exception, but they want to create a little bit more space. Maybe then you wave and stretch Patrick Williams because it'd only be 2 years left that you're stretching out, so a smaller amount. Or you can wait another year. You can just wave and stretch him if he picks up his option, that stretch out that final year. So I just don't think right now it's the most flexibility for the Bulls to do so. But if a new front office guy can come in here and can find a way, a team that to sell them on P. Will, they'll be a god, right? And then the Trey Jones and Jalen Smith parts of this as well. Like, these are two veterans on really reasonable deals that, you know, I could see teams around the league being interested in. Kind of all after the dust settles, maybe they miss out on some free agents. They want to strengthen their bench, and they can do some things like that. Like, let's say the Golden State Warriors make a trade for Giannis, right? And then they want some bench players that can fill out, that they can fit easily into exceptions or things like that. You know, maybe they do that. But then again, you know, you could stack assets that way. And that's another way. We'll talk about that probably on another episode at some point this week, how the cap space can be used, because it can be used more ways than just traditionally signing restricted free agents or free agents, but we'll get into that. So the Trey Jones and Jalen Smith part of it, also a big question when it comes down to it. But I think you have a hidden win with Leonard Miller. It's kind of tucked in there. But I think the upside, the development that you could have in him, the let's see what we have, you might as well do that. That's basically what the season's coming up be anyway. And those other guys really come down to how the new front office values them, especially the Modest piece. Modest got 2 more years left on a rookie scale deal. So, you know, the new front office, if they, you know, if they have some doubt on Modest, I'm not saying that they will or they should, but if they do, they have that amount of time to kind of figure that out before a long-term, or at least one season before you got to start looking down the barrel of a long-term contract decision there, right? So we'll see what happens in that. I think that it can go a lot of different ways with all these guys, and we just got to see what's going to happen with that. The last thing, I want to talk about some of these comments of Billy Donovan, because I didn't get into them on the last show, so I do want to get into them a little bit here. We had a number of quotes from Billy Donovan after Sunday's game where Billy said this: "The one thing, as difficult as it was, what I went through at the All-Star break, and I mean that with all due respect, my family's not necessarily going to have anything to do with the decision. They have been incredibly supportive. That would be more my internal thing with my mom and her situation. That would be something that I would want to do. It wouldn't be a situation where I feel a sense of family pressure. They never put me in that situation. I'm grateful for that. So if it had anything to do with the family, it would totally be on me. I love being in Chicago, and I love the organization and everything about it, but we are at this pivot point right now where everything has changed. For me to have to sit down and have a conversation to see where we're all at and how we're going to go forward." So it's the same thing that we've heard with Billy Donovan, is Billy wants to see what this front office is, what the plans of are the front office and ownership. Like, are we trying to get back to contending here? Or are we sitting back and we're going to be bad for a while? And I think that is going to make a huge factor in the decision that Billy Donovan is going to make. And so, you know, Billy Donovan also saying, obviously things have changed with Arturas and Mark. You go into the year and through the season thinking that we're all going to go through it together. That's changed. So I'm thinking they want to talk about what the plan is moving forward. I haven't necessarily had any conversations. So, you know, we'll see what happens in Billy. I think, like, there's so much going back and forth. There's people that say, that are in the know, that say, oh, Billy's all but gone. There are people that are in the know that says Billy's not. We'll see. I hope that we get this resolution sooner rather than later. Usually by now we have our season-ending press conference as well. Haven't had that yet. Are we even having that? Because I'm sure players are going to be leaving, and like Giddy's going to go back to Australia and stuff soon. So I don't know if we're even going to get the traditional kind of season close that we have had in the past. And Billy Donovan's decision is one of the biggest ones that looms over that, and we'll see what's going to happen there. But outside of that, the last thing to get into, Tank Watch, the Portland Trail Blazers take on the Phoenix Suns today. If they win, they move into the playoffs. The Bulls get their pick. If they lose today, they then take on the winner between the Warriors and the Clippers. And if they can win that game, then they go into the playoffs. Basically, over the next 2 games, we need the Blazers to get 1 win. And as soon as they get 1 win, they move into the playoffs and we get their pick. That's it. That's the end all. That's the be all. That's what it's about. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen there with the Blazers, but all Bulls fans should be there. The Bulls get an additional first-round pick in this draft. It can make a huge difference for how the Bulls' offseason plans out. So the draft is key to accelerating this rebuild. So let's hope that the Bulls can get that pick and the Portland Trail Blazers can take care of business. But that's going to do it for today's episode, man. I appreciate you guys so much. You guys are nothing less than amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central. Let me know your thoughts on everything down below. Who stays? Who goes? Billy Donovan, whatever happens there, let me know all that down below. Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel as well. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform. You can also send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Breaks Media.